loves to be put out in front of people. You can tell by the shade of red. But I want you to look at her pants. Okay, remember that. Thank you, Rebecca. That's my niece. You can always put family on the spot, right? That's maybe you shouldn't always do it, though. But the reason I had you look at them is because I'm a people watcher. Do we have any people watchers in here? Yeah. Yeah, if you're a people watcher, you'd rather just sit in the car while your spouse is getting groceries because you can just watch everybody come and go. And if you're in an aisle of the store, you might miss something. But there's a lot of people watching to do. And the thing is, something I try and do on a daily basis with most of the interactions, I ask the Lord what he's trying to show me in these various instances, situations. And my family might say that, I often say, well, that's a sermon illustration, and point something out. And my kids, some of them do that fairly regularly also. But the more you look for what the Lord is trying to point out, the more he shows you. Or I'm just a stubborn learner, and it takes a while, and he has to show me a lot of angles and various situations to teach me the same thing. Maybe you're like that, I don't know. But I think he'll layer those events in life to work together. And there's a lot of, first thing we're going to look at is looking the part. And there's a lot of different looks that go through the ages, right? Those bell-bottom jeans were in style many years ago. They're in style again, right? Hairstyles are that way. Some are timeless, some are seasonal, so to speak. But the thing is, even lifestyles are a look, kind of come and go. And the first thing I want to share with you, as far as that is, I was at a funeral years ago, and walked up to a couple guys. It was the brother of the man that had passed and one of his other nephews, and they were talking about something, laughing, and I just walked up to, you know, be part of the conversation, and Jim turns and goes, because it pertained to whatever they were saying, I don't know, he goes, we're country, right, Billy? I'm like, we're country, what is that? I don't even know what that means. What does that mean exactly, you know? In context, I didn't know. So you can't really, you know, just, oh, yeah, we sure are. I don't know what you mean by that, you know. Words have meanings, right? But, so we're at the Fellowship of Christian Farmers banquet, and the one young lady there has on this hat that is a very specific logo. And you go to graduation parties and stuff through that, you know, this past month or so, and you see all these young kids with certain styles that kind of come and go, and well, there's, you always see this logo, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's like a YouTube sensation or something. And so I ask, I go, what's this logo? Is that like a YouTube thing? Is that actual farm, ranch? No, it's just a clothing company that, you know, that's making this stuff, and probably a very good business selling the apparel to fit the part, to look the look. And it got me to thinking. And plus, I'm a people watcher. We go to a country music concert. Now, see, I go to a country music concert and think, it's going to get colder this evening. It's outdoors. I'm going to wear something comfortable. But I think a lot of the people that went to the country music concert dressed the part. Now, it's in downtown Milwaukee at the the amphitheater there, American Family Insurance Amphitheater. 23,000 seats. Pretty full. I'd say 20,000 people, easy. You think there's some people watching in 20,000 people? It was an overload. It really was. It was, but it got me to thinking about a lot of things. And so this is what I wore. I wore comfortable clothes, jeans, and a t-shirt. Do I look the part for a country music concert? What do you guys think? Do I look okay? What about preaching on Sunday? See, I can. Now I'm people watching because. that's the way it is. I know how it is. I'm one of those people too. But the thing is, you look at all these people, and at the concert, this one girl didn't look like she was, you know, playing the part. She just had regular clothes. She looked like an average person on the street, but she had a shirt that said, "Be yourself," with a rainbow above it. Well, we know what the rainbow means, right? Some people don't, but the rainbow is a promise that God will never flood the earth again for our blatant, in-your-face, fist-in-the-air disobedience. Well, that shirt with the rainbow, if it was accurate, should say, "Don't be yourself." So I want you to think about that, because there were people there that looked the part, there were people there that played the part, and there were people there that were the real deal. And what that is at a country music concert is something totally different than what it is every day. But it's something that we can look at and take with us, I think. So it's in light of all those sermon analogies and this one that I want to look at today's scripture. And this one, get this out of the way, right? So that's looking the part. And if none of that rang true, I want you to think about this one. I had a friend that for years looked the part, had the right boots, the right pants, the right chain drive wallet, okay, you know where I'm going, the right t-shirt, actually the right 25, 30, 40 different t-shirts that have a store name on the back, but one logo on all of them. Do you know what it is? Interactive. What kind of person buys a t-shirt at every dealership that they ever go to that has the dealership's name on it? Harley, right? I mean, it's a thing. That's the thing, that's looking the part. You want to know what the problem was? For about 10 years, he did not have a bike. Seriously. Okay, so do you have friends in life that you can say, "Hey, you know what? Quit buying the t-shirt, save up your money, and get the bike." Right? Look the part. But didn't even play the part. But have you ever been, and I'm gonna encourage you to do this, have you ever been in a group of somewhere, a restaurant or something, there's a group of bikers, and they all look the part. I mean, they got the tattoos, they got the shirt from this store, that store, and the other store. I'm okay with that, but ask them, "Hey, what do you guys do during the week? What's your day job?" Because it's very interesting. One might be a doctor, one might be a lawyer, one might be a dentist. They look the part. They play the part, but in our minds, we think of people as a certain way. But the rest of the week, you wouldn't notice a single thing. Ah, he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's a dentist. Okay, so I want that to ruminate in your mind. Today we're going to look at Matthew 7, 21 through 23. If you got your Bibles, turn to it. It'll be on the screen. If you've got it on your phone, only look at the Bible app on your phone. You don't need to check Facebook or anything right now. Starting verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Does that passage scare you? Does it make you think? Does it humble you? I pray that it does. So let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look at your scripture today, I ask you to search our hearts. Illuminate in our minds and hearts what's there, what shouldn't be there, and what needs to be there, Lord. Lord, I pray that we look to you for those answers in life and that it radiates from us. We find truth in you alone, Lord. It radiates from us and we lovingly, winsomely, but boldly share it with those around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, 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 Lord means claims Christ. Not everyone who claims Christ will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. There's a do. There is something that needs to be done, right? Verse 22, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, those who claimed Christ, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? It doesn't say, did we attempt to cast out demons in your name? It says, we cast out demons in your name. So it might have happened. Demons were casted out in the name of Jesus by someone who isn't allowed into heaven. So listen as I read this. In Acts 19, we're told about the sons of Sceva. 19 verse 13 says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? It's a read worth reading. Read that sometime. What happens next? But we're looking at people that look the part or even play the part. But the response is, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Workers of lawlessness. Think about that. To look at this passage, we need to look at the one right before it, Matthew 7, 15 through 20. You can go to that if you've got your Bible there. If you don't, listen as I read. Verse 15, beware of false prophets. So that's what we're looking at, false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look the part or play the part, sheep's clothing. But inwardly, this heart issue, inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. Sheep's clothing, but inwardly ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? No, it's not where we get grapes, right? Are figs from thistles? No. You don't plant thistles and harvest figs, right? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear healthy fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits, the produce of the heart. Now you say, Bill, the false prophet. What's a false prophet? It's someone who declares anything that's untrue. Does that even apply to us? Can you think of anybody that declares anything that's untrue? Yeah, right? We have a lot of religions in the world right now. I think more prominently than we ever had in my lifetime. We have many secular humanistic religions, the religions of the day, the ideologies and truths that are shared everywhere around us. We have climate religions. We have political religions. We even have religious religions. It says, beware of false prophets. It's a warning, right? A warning to discern what is said, but it's also a warning to only speak truth. So what is truth? You remember years ago, Jay Leno would have that show, Man on the Street, I don't know, where he'd go out on the street and they'd ask questions. And when I was a kid, I thought, nobody's that silly. Like, no, people just don't know a lot of stuff. Who gets to decide what truth is? Where do we find truth? God's Word, right? The Bible. That's where we find truth. That's easy to say, but do we fully live that? Do we live that as a nation? We're a Christian nation. So we planted some wheat and rye this year. And out in the combine, and I had a little rye years ago, just a little strip, but so this is the first time we've had of substance. And it is, it's kind of neat. You see these amber waves of grain flowing in the wind. And what do you think of when somebody says amber waves of grain? America the Beautiful. Yep, amber waves of grain. So if we think of America as beautiful, and we look at this passage, why do we expect amber waves of grain when we sow thistles? Because as a nation, we do. But life's full of choices, and we need to choose as an individual what to do. So that grain was either sold and delivered or stored and be delivered later or will be used as a cover crop. A lot of it will go to feed. So what do you do with wheat and rye if you had it? What are the options? Interactive. Go ahead. Make bread. You can make bread. Hey, you can make bread with that wheat and rye. What else can you do with wheat and rye? I'll answer for you, not to put anybody on the spot. You can make some gin, vodka, bourbon, and whiskey, right? I mean, you can. There's a little part of me that is sad to find out the vast majority of my wheat went to make dog food. Dogs need to eat. I get that, but I don't know why. There's a little part of me like, dog food? I grew dog food? I don't know. That's a little glimpse into my mind. But what's the difference between bread and alcohol? They both come from wheat, rye, grains. Bread sustains life, whereas the others generally destroy life. We have choices. Apparently, I chose dog food. But a lot of times in life, when we look at problems, we don't look here. We look out there, right? I do, anyway. Or I start to. And you might say, well, false prophets, those are teachers. The teachers of the day that were teaching fallacies. And teachers of the day today that are spouting lies and people are listening. That's for teachers. Bill, you're teaching us today. You're a teacher. I'm not a teacher. Any teachers in here? If you're a teacher, raise your hand. Okay. Let's try that a different way in a second. Okay? Who in here claims Christ? Raise your hand. If you claim Christ, you've been given what is called the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore is on your way as you go about your day. It doesn't mean go to another country and be a missionary. It might mean that, but it doesn't always mean that. As you go about your day, as you are a trucker, farmer, an electrician, a teacher, a dentist, a doctor, a lawyer, as you go about your day, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what? All that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Okay, so who in here is a teacher? Quite a bit more. It should be the same amount of people that claimed Christ. I hate to give you the answers. But that I want you to think about. I want you to hold on to that. Don't set it up on a shelf and leave it for years from now. Hold on to it. Chew on it. Think about it. Because until we fulfill or act out or start marching on our marching orders, I don't think we're the real deal. I think we might just be looking the part or playing the part. It comes down to, do you claim Christ? Do you know him? And does he know you? Those are the three questions to ask when we look at today's passage. Make disciples, teach them what? All that he has commanded us. Not the easy stuff. All the stuff. Not the fun stuff. All the stuff. Do we know all that the Lord is teaching us? Are we looking daily for what the Lord is teaching us here and in our day-to-day lives? So your homework is to look for the Lord working in every way, every day. Look for those sermon analogies because they're what we also call life's lessons. So your homework is to look for them, and by the close of Classic Car Day on September 25th, to share them with me. Okay? It's an assignment. You have to do it. But if you can do that with me, you should be able to do that with kids, grandkids, co-workers, everybody around you in day-to-day life. How do you see the Lord working, and how do you share that with others? So you're going to practice on me. And don't worry, I'm not going to use any of them or use your names or anything like that. Unless it's like something I really want to, then I'll ask first. Or something I think needs to be shared. And I'll actually see if you want to share it. Because it's pretty cool when you share how the Lord's working in your life. It's pretty cool to hear it too. But teaching them to observe all. How do we do that? What's the basics? What's the basics of the Christian faith? The gospel, okay? You start with the gospel. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Every one of us. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We are due a paycheck for our sin, right? Everybody likes to get their paycheck when it's due to them. Well, what happens when the paycheck that's due is death? God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ dying paid the price for us. He cashed our paycheck. And he rose from the dead. So that means the check cleared. You've ever taken a check to the bank? Because you need to say, if I cash this right now, will it clear? No. Okay, I'll bring it back another day then. Jesus cashed our paycheck, the paycheck of death, and it cleared. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 goes on to say, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation and forgiveness of sins is available to anyone who will trust Jesus' work on the cross and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. More on that in a minute. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We find peace in his redemptive work because that brokenness is restored through Jesus. Romans 8:1, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He for our sins. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can't lose our salvation. But the verses we're looking at today, 7:23, it said, and then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me. Two opposite ends of the spectrum, doesn't it? It makes you think, it makes you question, it makes you look internally. See, because those people he was talking to that day, if you can't lose your salvation, they were never saved. But they thought they were, because on that day, they were in a situation that we don't want to be in. They knew Jesus, but Jesus didn't know them. Think about that. They had the knowledge, but no relationship. So at a Bible study I'm part of, we had a discussion about terminology. See, anybody that has a written language, they put letters together to form words, and words have meanings. They really do. So we were talking about this terminology, believer in Christ versus follower of Christ. I want you to think about that, believer in Christ versus follower of Christ. But if we looked at the basics, the gospel message. What are the basics when you send your kids off to school or you teach them at home? What are the basics? The ABCs, right? Everybody knows their ABCs. But what if you don't? What if a young man goes off to school, spends his whole life, and he's a grown man, 62 years old, and is illiterate? How does that happen? He can't read or write. He can write stuff down, but he struggles, and it's a struggle to watch him do it. But I want you to think about this. If the basics of the alphabet are ABC, what if, say, with the biblical mindset, A is admit. Admit you're a sinner, right? What is B? B, believe. C, confess. Admit you're a sinner. Believe Jesus died for you. Confess your sins. What if that man that's 62 years old doesn't know the whole alphabet? We can assume he does. What if that child knows A, B, C, admit, believe, confess, but doesn't know anything else? What happens when you get to D? 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord," it's kind of who we're looking at today, aren't we? Because they said, "Christ, Christ, Lord, Lord." They claim Christ. "Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." So what if we know, admit, believe, confess, but we don't know depart or even dedicate your life to the Lord? Because repentance of sin and then turning from that sin is of utmost importance. I've got a friend that replaced one addiction with another. A God-sized hole. That one thing got taken away, a bad thing, a detrimental thing, a socially unacceptable thing, got taken away, praise the Lord. But it got put in, a different addiction got put in. And I met a guy for the first time here Friday morning that made me think of that. He had the same addiction, replaced it with something else. Each and every one of us do have a God-sized hole in us that needs to be replaced or emptied out, cleared out, and replaced with God. See, the world says, just like that girl's shirt, be yourself. And just like that day at the funeral when Jim said, "We're country." Right, Billy? What does "be yourself" actually mean? Because I'm a wretched sinner. What are you? And apart from Christ, we're separated from God, destined for hell. And some would say, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? What do you respond? I respond, how could a just God let anyone go to heaven? And then we have a conversation. We talk it through. Because that's what we do. We interact with each other. Have a conversation. But along the lines of repentance and lordship, I think it's a pretty big step that we miss for many reasons. I sure did. In the New Testament, it refers, just in the New Testament alone, it refers to Jesus as Lord 167 times. It refers to Jesus as Savior 12 times. Of those four, of the 12 instances of Jesus as Savior, four of them are Lord and Savior. So if we look at that, that's a 20-to-1 ratio. And when you ask somebody, how do you get to heaven? Jesus is my Savior. It's the common response. But if there's a 20-to-1 ratio of Lord to Savior, what does it mean to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Well, that's a different thing on a day-to-day basis, because when Jesus is your Savior, he is on that day when these people are hearing, depart from me. But if he's your Lord, that's today, every day. Christ is King. It's clear. Christ is King. But the question is he our King? Is he your King? Is he my King? Because we don't know, we're Americans. We don't have a king, right? It's kind of a foreign concept to us. No pun intended, but it is. Other countries have kings. What does it mean when Jesus is your King? Colossians 1:28 says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So last week, Kevin talked about all the babies in Christ that came to know the Lord. They were infants. They were babies in Christ. But we're told to teach everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature. So that's what we're looking at, that ABC or the whole alphabet. So let's look at the scripture after today's scripture. Listen or follow along. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Build your house on the rock is the title, the heading. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Again, the world says, be yourself. But Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is your life made new in Christ? Do you do his will? Or are you just being yourself? To think about in every aspect of life, in every way. Something to think about. Because Matthew 25:23 says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. But today, one of today's verses, 7:23, says, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." What will you hear on that day? Well done, good and faithful servant? Or depart from me, I never knew you? Again, I'll ask, do you claim Christ? Do you know him? And does he know you? If you do, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You're not in this alone. This isn't a single mercenary expedition years behind enemy lines all alone carrying out a mission. He's with you, okay? 1 John 2:17 says, "And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." So what's next? Right? Because it'd be kind of stinky of me to beat you guys down like this and then send you off. No. So stand up, put a smile on your face. Please, stand up, put a smile on your face. Get the blood pumping. Because a lot of times we look out there, right? So what's next with this world? What does the world need? What's next with this country? What needs to change in this country? Otherwise, it's going to be like the tree that's cut down and toppled and thrown in the fire. What's next in your community? What's next in this church? But more specifically, what's next in you? What are you going to do with the knowledge we've looked at today? Okay, sit back down. Because you can look the part, right? We can put a parachute on, and we can walk around everything we do, day-to-day life, wearing that parachute. Might be a fully functional, operational, perfectly packed, save-a-life parachute, right? You look the part. You've got that parachute on. But what if you start to play the part, and you hop in a plane every day, and you go up, fly around, and come back down? Well, you're playing the part. You've got your parachute on. You've got your boy, you spend your whole life doing that, hopping on that plane, coming back down, not doing it. What does it take for a parachutist to be the real deal? Jump, right? So I would encourage you to jump. Because the truth is, works don't save us. Do not save us. Works do not save us. Get that, and I'll say it again. Works do not save us. But if you know who Christ is and you have a relationship to him, why don't we get to work? Actively live out your faith. How does that look for you? How does that look with interactions, day-to-day interactions with people around you? So, Jesus loves you. You should look like it. So smile. Everybody smile. You saw my son up here playing the guitar. He doesn't smile when he plays the guitar. Jesus loves you. So act like it, look like it, but live your life knowing it. Are you in or are you out? Rhetorical question, apparently. Okay, I love you guys. Just trying to share what the Lord's been telling me in my life. I want you to look for those things and share them with me. Practice on me. I'll be your guinea pig, okay? You've got till the end of Classic Car Sunday, September 25th. And invite your friends that have classic cars. People like showing them. People like looking at them. But remember that you were once shiny and brand new, and you're becoming a classic car. But still has worth and purpose and design, right? And when you find your worth, purpose, and design in Jesus Christ, you're not showing you off. You're showing him off. So pray with me. Dear Lord, as we sing your praises more, I pray that